Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verse 26 to chapter 16, verse 15, and can be found on page 1083 in the Church Bibles. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sarah. Friends, far more than any other week, would you please find a Bible? There is a Bible somewhere near you, and open it up on page 1083. Because we've not been able to see it on the screen, it would be a real shame to miss out on what God is saying to us this morning. And if we can't see it, we may well not hear it. So do have a look. It's John chapter 15, and beginning at verse 26, and it's on page 1083. I want to say something I once heard a speaker say, and I think it's really, really important. What Sarah just read was actually the really important thing today, because that is God's word. It is inspired, it is reliable, it is infallible, it's our only hope in a dark world. So that's why I think it's a big deal to have it open and ready in front of us. And listen to that above all else. What I'm about to share, I hope, comes faithfully from that, but is a bit more fallible and frail. Do you get the point? The Bible is God's word. What I'm going to share, I hope, is faithful to that. And the reason it's good to have the Bible open in front of you is you need to check that what I'm saying is true. And I hope you do that about any preacher. Don't just listen to what a preacher says. Ask yourself all the time, but is it what Jesus said? Is it what the Bible teaches? So I'm encouraging you to just keep an eye on what people like me come out with, all right? And I hope it's a healthy thing and a good spiritual thing too. So why don't we pray that indeed the Lord Jesus would speak faithfully and we would hear his voice above any other voice this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you that you are a God who's still speaking. Thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus, is still speaking to us today. So please send your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear what your ancient word is saying to us even this morning here at St. Saviour's in High Green. And we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I want to tell you about my friend John. John was the father of one of my teenage young people in my youth group at the church in London I used to go to many years ago. John's wife Anne and his son Andrew came to church. They loved Jesus and they were regulars Sunday by Sunday. They had been witnessing to their faith to John for years, but he really did not want to know. And I often wondered why. Was he like a lot of us blokes can be? Let's be honest about this, men. We've never really looked into Jesus, but somehow we think we know. Do you ever come across men like that? You ever been a man like that? We kind of have that idea. And we kind of think church is okay for the ladies and for the kids, but not for real men. I wonder if it was like that. Or was it more about this? And I found this out years later, that when he'd been younger, he'd really prayed for his mum to be healed, and sadly, she died. And he'd never come to terms with that. Whatever the reason was, for Anne, his wife, and Andrew, his lad, it was hard. They wanted John to find life to the full, to know that with Jesus, life tastes better. He talked about giving abundant life. Do you remember that? And they also just, they wanted him to discover eternal life, a hope for the future, life forever. And yet John was saying, at least at that time, no, thank you very much. I bet you know someone like John. Maybe you're a little bit like John at times. Or maybe there's somebody you care about. And you know how hard that is. How do you actually, as a Christian, keep on caring for somebody and witnessing to somebody like that? Or as we saw last week, do you remember when Lisa was speaking? Some people will actually outright not like Christians for what they share. And there'll be even a bit of hatred and animosity. So how do we keep going? I love that quote Lisa gave us last week. I wonder if you remember it. A lighthouse doesn't stop shining because the storm is strong. Do you remember that? Let's see the first picture. A lighthouse doesn't stop shining because the storm is strong. But how do we keep on shining? How do we keep living as a witness? And boy, that must have been a question for the disciples in today's Bible reading. Do you remember where they are? They're at the Last Supper with Jesus, and he said to them, I am going. And worse than that, he said, well, actually, not everybody's going to love you for being a follower of Jesus. In fact, some of them will really hate you for it. And yet, what does he say, right almost at the beginning of the reading? Have a look down at chapter 15, verse 27. You must testify, or you must be witnesses, for you've been with me from the beginning. He's saying, I want you to share the good news. I want people to hear about me, but it's going to get really pretty bad out there. For starters, he says, you'll be an outsider. Do you see that in verse 2, chapter 16, verse 2? He says, they're going to chuck you out the synagogue. The Jewish people won't want you. They'll throw you out. You'll have no spiritual home. Your community center, the team that you follow, if you like, is going to turn on you. You'll be an outsider. And then worse than that, he says, some of them will try and get you out of the way altogether. Did you follow that? Verse 2. They may even try and kill you, get you right out the way. And then if all that weren't bad enough, he goes on to say in verse 6, I'm going. I'm off. And you will be so sad and so filled with grief. We need to let this sink in for a minute. Imagine being one of those early disciples. He's saying, there's going to be far more people against you than for you. You're going to be shut out and hated. And you'll no longer have me around. And yet I want you to be my witnesses. Talk about witness against the odds. It's a lot of odds against them, aren't there? And here's the thing. Jesus says, they can do it. In fact, he's saying, we can do it too. And he shows us how. So friends, I want to bring you some encouragement this morning because it seems to me that is what Jesus is doing. If you feel witnessing for you is just not you, or if you feel sometimes it is just too hard and too difficult, how do I witness against the odds? Listen to Jesus this morning. And here is the answer. It's a person. Not a theory, not an idea, but a person that we have met before. And Jesus talks about him three times. Did you spot it? At the beginning of the reading, verse 26, he talks about the counselor or the advocate. Then in chapter 16, verse 7, he talks about the advocate who will come or I will send. And then in chapter 16, verse 13, he talks about the Spirit of truth will come. It's all the same someone. Do you follow it? Do you remember? We thought about this a few weeks back. Somebody Jesus in the original calls the Paraclete. Very difficult to kind of put into an English, one English word. Some Bibles talk about him as a helper or a comforter. This version says counselor or advocate. But do you remember, we thought the best way, the simplest way, let's see the next slide, is simply to call him the friend. He was Jesus' best friend. And when Jesus left us, he left him to be our friend. And a very particular kind of friend. Do you remember? It was a friend with a particular kind of feel to it. A bit like the friend you need when you're in trouble and you're in court and you're on trial. Do you remember that? You need a friend then who knows what they're doing. None of us have been in court before. What do? We need somebody who can support you and say, go on, you can keep doing this. You need somebody who can advise you. Well, what you need to try is this, or why don't you do it that way? Sometimes you need a friend who's going to go on the attack, be like your defense lawyer and say, leave her alone. There's a really good argument to make for her. And have you looked at all the evidence? Don't you see she's telling the truth? What Jesus is saying to us, when we feel like we're on trial, we are not alone. We have a very real but unseen friend who is with us. The one who helped Jesus all his life long and now helps us. And Jesus says, I want you to know you've got a friend and I want you to know him better. And so in these verses, he gives two wonderful ways our friend helps us witness to Jesus. I wonder if you spotted them. Here's the first one. He says the friend is active in the world out there. And then he says the friend is active in the church in here. Did you spot that? In the world, he said, the friend is going to help it change its mind. And in the church, he's going to speak to our hearts. Let's just take a moment to look a bit more at those. Here's the first thing. The first thing this wonderful friend does, let's see the next slide. He's at work in the world. And what it means by that is people who don't yet believe in Jesus. Those who are not yet Christians. Maybe the ones who give you a bit of grief. Or the ones who say, I don't want to know, what they don't realize is this. There's an inside job going on. The friend is at work changing their minds. What do I mean? Well, I bet you will all have seen one time or another one of those courtroom dramas. Do you know what it's like? And all the evidence is brought in and all the witnesses are telling one story and it all looks terrible. And then suddenly there's one fresh bit of evidence that turns the whole thing and it all collapses. Do you know a bit like that? Some of you know I used to work as a lawyer and we saw this happen far too often, really. It was often in cases where somebody had an accident or they were injured and it was just too tempting not to exaggerate it a bit. Do you know what I mean? Just tell the story and make it a little bit more dramatic. And it often came something like this. Somebody would say, well, yes, I got whiplash in that accident. It really hurt me. And for 3 months, I couldn't do a thing. You get to court, and the other side used to bring in a video. And the video showed this person playing football 2 weeks later. Suddenly, they're banged to rights. The evidence is in, they're guilty, and they have to admit it. Folks, that is what Jesus is saying the friend will do in human lives. In people who do not yet believe, and you perhaps know what this has been like on the inside. Jesus talks about it in verse 8. What does he say? When the friend comes, he will prove the world wrong. Or I think in some versions it says, he will convict the world of guilt. And he goes and talks on about sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's a little bit dense, but he's basically saying the Spirit is quietly at work in the lives of those around us until at least some will give in. And we're prepared to say, yeah, actually, I am a sinner. I have not believed in Jesus. Or perhaps we are convinced about righteousness, that Jesus was the righteous one who died for me. Or that on the cross, sin was condemned, not Jesus. The evil one, the prince of this world, the devil, was defeated, not Jesus. Jesus cried, it is finished. 3 days later, burst out of the tomb. And if anyone is to know that and really feel that, to see Jesus saving them, then they need convincing evidence, and it is the Holy Spirit who quietly does the convincing. There's a lovely example of this in the book of Acts. Do you remember how in the book of Acts, so often, God's people go out to tell people about Jesus, and they find God's gone ahead of them? Do you remember that? The Holy Spirit's already working. There's a wonderful one in Acts chapter 16. There's this rich business lady called Lydia, and she's listening to Paul, the evangelist, talking about Jesus. And it says this, the Lord opened her heart to respond. Isn't that lovely? So in other words, what it's saying is there's an inside job going on the people who listen to the gospel and hear about Jesus. You know about an inside job. You know, when the bank gets burgled and they found out one of the staff was in on it. Well, this is like a wonderful inside job of blessing. Because in the hearts of those who don't yet know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work doing an inside job to nag away. This really is true. You need to listen to this. Listen to the evidence until they give in. Friends, I think probably all of us here know something of that, don't we? I wonder if you were here and you heard hundreds of sermons until one day suddenly one made sense. Or maybe a friend invited you time and again to come to a pie and pea supper, come and hear this, come to that. And then for some reason you suddenly thought, I've got to go, I've got to hear this. Or maybe you grew up in a Christian home, but for ages it didn't make sense until one day you suddenly realized, yeah, actually, you know, I do believe this after all. What's that about? That is the friend at work in our lives, unseen, doing the inside job. And he is our unseen ally as we go to witness to Jesus. And no, we can't tell quite when he will, as it were, do his final work, but we know he's constantly at work, quietly persuading, arguing, trying to bring folks to know Jesus. The friend is at work in the world out there. But it's not just out there. The friend is also at work, says Jesus, in the church. And not so much by changing minds in the church. Next slide. Speaking to our hearts. Speaking to our hearts. What do I mean? Well, just have a look down at verse 12 towards the end of the reading. It's Jesus talking. And he says to these first disciples who know he's going to be leaving them, he says, do you know, I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. You can sympathize with them, can't you? They need to take on board all sorts of stuff from Jesus. And he's saying, there's going to be more I wish I could share with you. But right now, but then he goes on and says, I've got a lot more to say to you, and I will say it. But how? What does he say? When the Spirit of truth comes. Jesus is going to go on speaking through the Spirit. And he says the same thing four different ways. Just look down, verse 13. The Spirit, he says, will guide you into all the truth. Then he says, verse 13, he will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears. Then a bit more in verse 13, he will tell you what is to come. And then verse 14, he will receive from me and make it known to you. If you look at that again and again, he's circling around the same thing. He's saying, the Spirit will speak for me. When I've left you and I'm no longer with you, I will still be speaking through the Spirit. He will take my words and bring them to you. Now, actually, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember back in chapter 14, Jesus said that the friend would come and remind you of everything I said? Do you remember that? One of his great works was to help those original disciples remember, oh yeah, Jesus talked about loving our neighbor, or oh yeah, Jesus talked about the Spirit coming, and those things would come back to them. And so we said, in some ways, when the Spirit comes, he doesn't bring anything new. He brings the words of Jesus they originally heard and brings them home to them. But because they're Jesus' words, they're never stuck in the past. They're alive. And they're speaking to us today. And then he says a bit more there. Just look down again. He will tell you what is to come. So he's saying, yes, first of all, you, Peter, James, and John, and all the others, the Spirit will come and remind you of all I've said. And at least he's going to give you a little bit more, actually, things that are going to come. And we know that. You read through the New Testament. There were other things, weren't there, that perhaps we don't hear so much about in the Gospels or not so clearly. And Paul and John and Peter and others, they open them up. And we hear the voice of Jesus. And that is where we go to hear the Spirit speaking. We come to what those first apostles brought to us in the Bible, and he speaks through it still. So maybe you're thinking, but Rick, does that mean the Spirit isn't still bringing the words of Jesus, new words? Well, yes and no. He's not going to tell us anything he's not told us in the Bible, but he is going to take what is in the Bible and bring it to life so we hear the living words of Jesus. And I want to ask you, would you want any more than that? Haven't you ever felt that over these last weeks as we've been in John's Gospel? That there's something as we hear this that will not let us go. Maybe it's here on a Sunday. Maybe it's been in the Be Inspired group or the men's group or maybe just at home on your own. It happened to me just this last week. A group of us were meeting. And we just listened again to that bit that Mike preached on last week from the vine. Do you remember in John 15? And as we were listening, I don't know, it was like a kind of shiver went down my back. And it was like suddenly across the centuries, Jesus was speaking. And then I thought, it's not across the centuries. Jesus is alive. And he's talking to us right now. Those words came alive and we really felt Jesus speaking. Now, how does all that help us in our witness to Jesus? To know that as we open up the Bible, we have the words of the Spirit, the words of Jesus. Friends, I think it takes the pressure off us, you know. I really do. For starters, when you need encouragement, you do not need to go into a special mood or a trance. You don't need to go to a special place or even to a special person. Wherever there's a Bible, you can simply open it up or on your phone or however you like to engage with it and simply say, Lord, will you speak to me? I need some encouragement now. Please come. Please help me. And not just when we need encouragement. What about when we witness to Jesus, to others? Do you ever find it a bit intimidating, particularly if you've got a friend who seems really good at it? Do you ever have that experience? You know, somebody who's always got some easy kind of gospel outline they can share with somebody. Four spiritual laws, two ways to live, the bridge to Jesus, or whatever it might be. I don't know if you're anything like me. I can never remember those in the heat of the moment. Do you know that feeling? They never quite come to mind. And I want to say, does that mean I can't be a witness to Jesus? Well, of course not. Friends, all of us know stuff about Jesus, probably far more than we could ever realize. You know about the things Jesus said and did. You know he said, love your neighbor. You know he said, love your enemy even. Things like that. How powerful is that? You know some of the things he did, how he was compassionate to the vulnerable and the weak and that poor blind man who no one else was bothering with. You could tell somebody about that. You know that he was born in a humble cradle. You know he walked to a cruel cross. You know he's coming to wear a wonderful crown. You don't need a special fancy bit of knowledge for that. You know that. Well, what about this? Maybe with a friend, why not open a gospel? Witnessing, we're not witnessing about ourselves, we're witnessing about Jesus. Why not get hold of, on the back of church, there's some little Gospels of John like this for the city of Sheffield. Why not have one of those in your back pocket? And when you get the opportunity, just pass it on to somebody. Or there's also on the back here by the table, the word one-to-one. And some of you I know have already started experimenting with this. A great way of simply getting with a friend over a cup of coffee or a glass of beer, if that's your thing, or wine or whatever. Don't know why I'm looking at Arf when I say wine. And why not read through? Have a look. Would you like to find out about Jesus? Let's look and see what he really did and said. Friends, you don't need anything fancy to do this. Simply to say, I'm going to pass on the words of Jesus. Let the word of God do the talking. Friends, I don't know about you. I have been so encouraged by this week. It is such good news. We can witness against the odds because we are not alone. We have a great, great friend. A friend at work in the world, changing minds, and a friend at work in our lives, giving us the words, speaking to us. And you know, it's not theory. It happened to me just this week. I couldn't believe it. I was just talking to a friend I've known for some years, and I've been trying to kind of share a bit here and there, and then suddenly out of the blue, they looked at me and said, "Rick, how did you find God?" My jaw could have hit the floor. You know, where did that come from? And as it happens, it's one of those conversations, we were both really busy, and I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'd love to give you an answer. Why don't we get a coffee next week?" And they said yes, and they've chased me up for it. So I am pretty excited about what might happen this week. I don't know quite what, but it feels like for years, quietly, something was going on, and then suddenly there was some interest and a little bit more. And I do want to encourage you. I do not think I have the gift of evangelism. It's not my great gift. I want to say I'm an ordinary witness like you, trying to do my incompetent best. But note what happened. Yes, I had to open my mouth and say something. It wasn't anything like enough. But after years, suddenly the Holy Spirit is at work and this friend starts asking questions. And we don't know quite when or how it's going to happen, but I am so excited about it. And I want to encourage you, go out with a bit of excitement this week. We have the most wonderful privilege in the world to let people know that with Jesus, life tastes better. And there is an amazing hope to come for the future. And as we go out as his witnesses, we do not need to be afraid. Because Jesus' best friend is our friend now, the Holy Spirit, and he is with us, even in those we speak to, and we are definitely not alone. So the lighthouse can shine in the middle of the storm. Amen. Why don't we pray? Our dear Father, we want to admit that often we are scared, often we feel inadequate, and we are a little bit put off sometimes. The old idea of witness seems such a difficult thing. And then you come today and remind us. It's not actually down to us, because you have sent us a wonderful, glorious friend. Oh, Father, help us today, we pray. Help us this week to see the friend at work, maybe in our family, maybe in our colleagues at work, maybe our neighbors. Would you be at work? Help us to open our mouths, and would you speak to us and through us, through the wonderful, living word of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. If you like one of those gospels, there's a pile of them on the table as you go today. Thanks, Alf.
Thank you for that, Rick. I'm sure it'll give us plenty of time next week to digest it and think about it. But in the meantime,